this Shabbat, this parasha, we have a lot going on. We have a double parasha, Vayakel Pikudei. And also, it's the fourth of four maftirs that we read around this time of the year. It started with Shekalim, Zachor, Para, and this Shabbat is the last one, Hachodesh. Hachodesh, Parashat Hachodesh is read. The Shabbat right before Rosh Chodesh, Nisan. We're not going to go into Parashat Hachodesh. There's a lot to discuss with Parashat Hachodesh. We're going to stick with Vayakel today. So the Pasuk says, I'm going to use the Pasuk as a springboard to speak about a certain inyan. B'siyata d'ishmaya. Pasuk says in Parashat Vayakel, in the middle of the building of the Mishkan, Lo tevaru esh b'chol moshevotechem b'yom ha-shabbat. One should not be igniting a fire in all of your homes and all of your dwelling places on Shabbat. Okay? Seems like, you know, an isolated pasuk that has to do with keeping Shabbat. Don't ignite a fire on Shabbat. So, we're not going to get into halacha about lighting a fire on Shabbat and turning on a light switch and all that stuff. But the Zohar Kadosh says something amazing. The Zohar Kadosh says that this ish, this fire, is referring to what? Kas, the midav kas, the trait of anger, being angry. And we see from this pasuk in a hinted way, lo tevaru ish b'chol moshevotechem. One should not be igniting a fire. One should never be igniting a fire. One should never be getting angry. One should never be displaying or illustrating this midah of kas, this midah of anger that is found inside of you. Everyone has this midah to an extent, some more than others. Oh, we're going to get to it. So the question is, why b'yom ha-shabbat? Why on Shabbat? According to the Zohar Kadosh, that the ish is referring to anger, not really referring to, according to the pshat, it's referring to igniting a fire. But according to a sod, or the remez, it's referring to anger. What does that mean? What does that mean, b'yom ha-shabbat? Why specifically on Shabbat? We're going to come to answer that, Be'ezrat Hashem. But let's discuss the severity of anger for a second. Severity of anger, it can be a very, very, very destructive. Ka'as can be very destructive. When one gets angry, he's capable of doing things that he would never think of doing. He's not thinking. Your mind is not working when you're angry. That's why the person who overcomes his anger is so special, so important. The Pasuk in Mishlei says, it's on your sheets, Tov erech apayim migibor. Someone who is slow to get angry is greater than a gibor, than a very strong man. Right? It says, Ezehu gibor hakoveshet yitzro. Right? Who is a strong person? One who overcomes his yetzer, one who overcomes his temptations. So more specifically, one who overcomes his temptation of anger is considered, he's better than a gibor. He's better than a gibor. We see from here something amazing. What did it say? Ezehu gibor hakoveshet yitzro. Who is considered a gibor? Someone who overcomes his yetzer. Right? So that maybe we could say, I don't know if this is a pshat, maybe we could say that's talking about all the yetzer haras, all the temptations. However, from this pasuk we see that someone who overcomes anger is greater than a gibor. Tov erech apayim migibor. Someone who's slow to get angry is tov migibor. He's stronger than a gibor. I don't know if that's true. I just thought of that right now. You're right. But that Mishnah is talking about, in general, all averot. No. Maybe. I don't know. According to this pshat, I don't know. Right? This pasuk is saying, no, someone who overcomes anger is better than a gibor. Maybe, I don't know if it's true. The pasuk continues, Umoshel beruchol milochet ir. And someone who who dominates, who controls his ruho, his anger, miloked ir, he's on a higher level than someone, a high general, powerful general, who goes and he overcomes and he controls an entire city. Someone who goes and takes over an entire city. A person who overcomes his anger is on a higher level, he's stronger than a high general, high officer that goes and takes over a city. There's a story, it's an amazing story, that one time a father told his son, you know, it's very important for a father, for a parent, to set an example for their children when they grow up. So the biggest chinuch that you could do for your children, biggest training that you could do to your children, is by setting an example. However, sometimes you have to speak a little bit, and you have to tell them, you know, you have to tell them certain phrases, catchphrases that they could always remember for the rest of their lives. My father used to say X, Y, and Z. My father always used to say X, Y, and Z. So there's a story of one time there was a father that always told his son, if there's one thing I want you to learn from me, it's this. Whenever you are angry, don't take action. Even if you're correct, even if you're justified in why you're getting angry, don't take action. Sleep over it. Sleep on it. One night, in the next morning, do whatever you need to do. But on the spot, don't take any action. So what happened was, this is when the son was little. He eventually grew up. He grew up. He got older. He got married. He had a kid. Now in those days, much of the business was overseas. Right? It's not like today, you walk across the street, you go into the subway, after a half hour you're at work. You go into a car, after 45 minutes, one toll bridge, you're at work. It's not like that, and then you come back in the evening. People used to go away for months, and some people even for years. And they would come back, and they would always, during that time, they would always send home money, and hope that it got back to their parents' home, to their family's home. Right? And sometimes they would collect the money, and then after 6-7 years, they would come home and they would bring the money. So this person, he got married, he had a kid, and he was subject to go and do business overseas. He went for a very long time. He went for maybe 10 years. When he came back home after 10 years, he recognized, you know, how to get to his home. He remembered how to get there. He came to the doorstep, and he heard his wife speaking in a very intimate way with another man. And all of a sudden, you know, he raised his eyebrows. He's like, listen, you know, I expected my wife to be faithful to me throughout all these years. But what's going on over here? And he looks through the window, and he sees his wife and another man on a couch together. You know, they're holding hands, and they're speaking in a very intimate way, and they're touching themselves in a very intimate way. He took out his knife from his pocket in less than a split second, and he said, you know, that's it, it's over. It's over for the both of these guys. I had enough, you know, both these people. As he was about to walk into the door, he remembered what his father told him many, many years ago. Don't take action when you're angry. Sleep over it one night. And he said, no, I can't, I gotta go. No, but I can't get angry, I have to go to sleep. No, yes, no. He said, you know, my father said it, I'm doing it. I promised my father. He went to the local motel. He slept there that night. The next morning he went to Bet Knesset. And they called up someone to the Torah. And his name was, let's say, Yitzchak ben Moshe. His name was Moshe, and he remembered he named his son Yitzchak. So what's going on over here? He went over and he said to him, listen, my son also, he's Yitzchak ben Moshe. He said, well, what do you mean? Who are you? He said, my name is Moshe. Where are you from? Well, I grew up over here and I left. Abba, you're my father. Yeah, I'm your father. Yeah. Come, let's go home. Let's go see mommy. They go home. It turned out that man that was talking, you know, very closely to the woman was his own son. If he would have taken action on the spot, he would have murdered his own son and his wife. When you're angry, you're not thinking. you don't have control over your mind. The Gemara in Shabbat says something unbelievable. Not only that, you don't have control. The Gemara in Shabbat, Daf Kuf Hei Amud Bet, says, HaKorea Bigadav Bechamato. Someone who gets very angry. You know how we used to watch WWF. There was a guy, his name was Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan, everyone knows who he is. Hulkamania, right?
What is that?
So he used to come in, right? What was his thing? He used to take his shirt and he used to rip it apart, right? That was his famous thing, right? Behemah. So anyways, someone who takes his garments and tears it apart out of anger, he gets very angry. He says, I can't take it anymore. He wants to vent out. What does the Gemara say? HaKorea Begadav Bechamato. Out of anger, he tears his clothing. V'ameshaber Kelav Bechamato. Someone who takes a glass vase, he throws it on the floor out of anger. V'amfazer Ma'otav Bechamato. Someone who says, I'm so angry. He takes his wallet, he takes all of his dollar bills in his pocket. I don't know, a stupid person, right? He tears them up. He says, I don't care, I'm so angry. When you see this person, you have to view him as someone who worships idols. He's Oved Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says. So what are you talking about? What does that have to do with Avodah Zarah? What does that have to do with Avodah Zarah? Avodah Zarah is bowing down to idols. Avodah Zarah is worshiping other gods. What does that have to do with just, it's a personal thing. What am I believe in God. I believe in God. I'm just getting very angry. I'm tearing my clothing. I'm breaking a vase in my house. No, because what happens is that when you're angry, you're not thinking. And since you're not thinking, you're going and ripping your clothing. Since you're not thinking, since you don't have control over your mind, you're going and you're breaking the vase. And you're going and you're throwing away all that money. So too, the same way the Yetzer Hara is controlling your mind, and he's getting you to do things that don't make any sense, he could also get you to worship Avodah Zarah. And therefore it's as if you're worshiping Avodah Zarah. Why? Because the lack of control that you have over your mind is similar to the lack of control that you have over your mind when you go and worship Avodah Zarah. The same way you go and tear your clothing apart because you don't have control. So too, you may even go and do and worship Avodah Zarah because you don't have control. You're capable of doing things that you never thought of doing ever. Nariya Kadosh. We're running out of time, so can you wait? The Ari HaKadosh says in Shaar Ruach HaKodesh, he's quoted by his Talmid Rav Chaim Vital. Chaim Vital was the top Talmid of the Ari HaKadosh. And he says, he testifies about his Rebbe, the Ari HaKadosh. My Rebbe would be more makpid with anger than with all other Averot. He would be more makpid with anger, with kas, than with all other Averot. Why? Kabbalistically speaking, he explained that when you do an Avera, so spiritually it affects a body part. It affects an organ. It damages one of your organs. But when you're angry, when you get angry, it affects your entire neshama, which is not just one part of your being. It's your entire being. It damages your entire neshama. The Rambam takes this a step further. The Rambam says in Hilchot Deot, Perek Bet, Halacha Gimel, he says that all midot, happiness, sadness, all midot have a proper balance. And you should find that middle ground. And that's the way that you should live. Except for one midah, kas, anger. There's no middle ground with anger. You have to run away to the other extreme with anger. Run away from it. There's no balance with anger. Sometimes I get angry, sometimes I don't get angry. No. You never get angry. Run away from anger. That's how bad it is. It's as if you're worshiping Avodah Zarah. One time there's a story about a Rav. This is an amazing story. There's a Rav from Europe. Now in Europe, in many of these places in Europe, they struggled finding etrogim for Sukkot. Why? Because you need a place that grows etrog trees. You can't grow an etrog tree in Russia, in Siberia, right? You can't. There's no fertilization there, right? No, the land is not fertile. So very, very often, many cities had droughts and they did not have an etrog. The entire town did not have one etrog. But there's this one person, this one Rav in one city, he said, I'm not giving up on my etrog. and he went here, went to this place, went to that place. Finally, he made his way to a certain town. And he saw that one person in the town has an etrog. And he said, listen, I want to buy it off of you. No one in my town has an etrog. He said, listen, I went. In my town also, no one has an etrog. I had to go to a very far town, far, far away to buy mine. I spent a lot of money on it. I'm not selling it to you. He said, how much did you spend on it? I paid $5,000. I'll give you $6,000. I'm not selling it for $6,000. I'll give you $8,000. Finally, the price was so high that he was forced to give in. And he sold it to him. Where did this Rav get the money from? So he had a savings account in his own house, in his own home, for his daughter's wedding, to make a wedding for his daughter. Okay? So he went home. He dug up this, you know, underground in his backyard, and he found that savings money. Okay, so now his daughter has no money to get married. He took that money, went and he bought an etrog. He came back home. He was so happy. He was so happy. His wife said, "What are you so happy about?" Ah, finally, I have my hands on an etrog. I have an etrog. Oh, really? How much did it cost you? Huh, it costed a lot of money, but how much? $8,000. Really? And where did you get that money from? Well, I took it from the savings for our daughters. She got so upset. What did she do? She took the etrog out of anger. She threw it on the floor. Pasul. $8,000 in the garbage. So now, he does not have $8,000, and he doesn't have the etrog. How angry would you be if you were him? He was with the Talmid at that moment in the home. He was with the Talmid. He was with the student. What did he do? He went to the window and he closed the window. His Talmid asked him, "What are you doing?" Afterwards, after this entire story, why did you just go and close the window? And why didn't you react? Why didn't you get angry at your wife? She did such a stupid thing. He said, "Why? I felt my wife was a little cold. It was a little chilly in the room. I felt that she was cold, so I went and I closed the window." I don't understand, but for this person, he had such control over his emotions, such control over his anger, that not only did he didn't even react to that, and he said, okay, it happened. What's it going to do if I get angry at her now? It's going to bring the money back. It's going to bring the talk back. It's not going to accomplish anything. So why would I get angry? Not only that, but he cared for her well-being. He saw that she's a little chilly. He went and he closed the window. Unbelievable. So now, with the short time that we have left, how can one overcome anger? How can one overcome anger? So we're going to have two etzot, two separate etzot, two different pieces of advice that could help a person overcome his anger. One is in thoughts, cognitively. A person has to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making everything happen. It's not the other person, it's Hashem. Hashem is making everything happen. The Baal Shem Tov was Megala, he revealed that there's no such thing as a coincidence in the world. But to another level, when you pass by another person and he does something that affects you, that's really a message that Hashem is trying to send you. Hashem is trying to test you. He's trying to send you a message. He's trying to remind you of something. For example, there's a famous story, I believe it's with the Tzanz Rav, of Chaim from Tzanz, Divrei Chaim. That one time he was riding on the wagon with his student. And the wagon driver, who wasn't a Jewish guy. So something fell from the wagon. And Rav Chaim from Tzanz, he was a very old person. So he said to the wagon driver, "Do me a favor, can you get the thing that I dropped? I'm not able to get it." So what did the wagon driver say to him? He stopped and he said, "Of course you're able to get it. You just don't want to get it." It was a chutzpah to talk to a gadol ador like that. Talk to one of the biggest rabbis in the world. For a goy to talk to him like that, it's chutzpah. Disrespectful. His talmidim were about to jump and jump on him and murder him. Kill him on the spot. He said, no. He got down, he picked it up, with tremendous effort, he came back onto the wagon. And he told his Talmidim, "Nothing is a coincidence. There's nothing that someone else says to you That's a coincidence. Everything's for a reason. Hashem sends messages to you, sometimes through nature, sometimes through mankind, through different people. And the message that Hashem was trying to show me was what? I was being lazy. I convinced myself that I can't get down and I can't pick it up, but really I was able to. It's just that I really didn't want to. So too here, person has to understand. When you come across a person, he says something, he does something to you, gets you a little angry. Thing number one. You have to understand that Hashem is making it happen. The Gemara says in Chulin, "En adam nokef etzba'o milamata, ela imken machuizin alav milamala." A person doesn't lift a finger downstairs without Hashem saying it's okay from upstairs. Therefore, what? Always have to understand, things happen for reasons. Someone comes, you get into a car accident, chas v'shalom, you get into a car accident. Who knows what should have happened to you that Hashem, with all of His mercy, decided to spare you of that and be nice to you and only get you into a car accident that you'll only have to pay $5,000? Who knows? You were supposed to take away the life of your daughter, chas v'shalom. Who even knows? And instead He just took away $5,000 from your bank account. That's number one. Understanding that Hashem has a master plan and everything happens for a reason. There's no need to get upset. Number two is sometimes when you're in the heat of getting upset, you have to think about what? That you think, understand that it's the Yetzer Hara trying to get you upset. He's trying to get you upset, the Yetzer Hara. So how do you fight the Yetzer Hara? Try to trick him. How do you trick him? By waiting. For example, I'll throw an example at you that I heard from a Rav. His name is Rav Zamir Cohen. He said like this. One time there was a person that had a husband and a wife. So the wife always got the husband angry. She always said things that got him angry. So the husband said, you know what? He went to the store, he bought himself a shirt. He came back home, he said, anytime my wife gets me angry, I will not react until I put on this shirt. And he called it the angry shirt. The next day, his wife said something, a little something, you know, that got underneath his skin. He said, oh, hold on one second. He ran to his bedroom, quickly ripped off his shirt. He said, oh my God, I'm going to give it to her. Ripped off his shirt, put on this new shirt, came back to him. And she said, what was that about? You know, it really bothers me when you say stuff like that. You know, can you please... 2 minutes ago, he would have chopped her head off. Now he's speaking to her with a soft tone, with a nice tone of voice. He's saying please, he's saying thank you. What's going on over here? The reason is because he waited. Because he waited. He waited a little bit, right? He waited 2 minutes. Before you react, wait. That's that story that we said in the beginning. The father told him to sleep on it. When you wait, you gain your consciousness back, you gain your mind back, you're able to think normally, and you don't react in an irradical way like you would have reacted when you're angry. That's another thing. Always wait. Like many people say, count to 10. Before you want to give a nice comeback, count to 10. Count to 10. Count to 20. You know? Walk out of the room and come back. Walk out of the room and come back. So back to our original question. It says, "Lo tevaru esh b'chol moshvotechem." Don't ignite a fire in all of your homes b'yom haShabbat on Shabbat. So we explain according to the Zohar Kadosh that what? Igniting a fire means what?
Anger.
Fire is anger. So what about Shabbat? Why dafka on Shabbat? Says the Chatam Sofer something unbelievable. The Chatam Sofer says like this. We know, Likrat Shabbat lechu v'nelcha, ki hi mekor ha-bracha. Shabbat is mekor ha-bracha. Shabbat is the source for all blessing. All the weekdays get their blessings from when? From one day of Shabbat. It's funny, it's ironic, because that's the one day that you don't work. It's one day that you don't put time in to make money. But all your money comes from that one day. That's Am Yisrael, that's Judaism. Anyways, all the bracha comes from Shabbat. And now the Mishnah in Uktzin says, Lo matza kadosh baruch hu keli machzik bracha le Israel ela shalom. We know that bracha Bracha is like wine, okay? You can't pour wine into the air. It needs what? It needs a cup. The wine needs a cup to go into. So the bracha also, it needs a cup to go into. It needs a keli to go into, to rest inside of it. So what's the keli that holds bracha? The Mishnah says, shalom, peace. The only keli that holds bracha is peace. Without peace, all the zechuyot that you have, all the brachot that you have, it's not going to have a place to go into, right? You can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have a wallet, where are you putting your money? If you don't have a bank account, where are you putting your money? You can have all the brachot in the world. If it doesn't have a place to rest, it's not going to do anything. The kli that holds bracha is peace. It's peace. Now, let's tie it back in together. That means that in order for the bracha from Shabbat, as we said, bracha, we said on Shabbat, the bracha goes and gives bracha to the whole week. The only way that's going to work is if the bracha is a place to rest. That means if you have peace at home, if you have shalom in your home on Shabbat, then the bracha is going to rest. You don't have shalom in your home on Shabbat, the bracha is going to disappear, it's going to evaporate. That's why, lo tevaru esh b'chol moshvatechem, don't get angry when? On Shabbat. Why on Shabbat? Because when you have peace on Shabbat, you have a kli that the bracha could rest. We don't have time, we ran out of time for the Ben Ish Chai, but the Ben Ish Chai goes through, he has in Halachot, Parashat Vayera, it's very worthwhile to look at, Parashat Vayera, in the Sefer Ben Ish Chai, Shana Shnia, he discusses the severity of anger, and the Yetzer Hara, how the Yetzer Hara works extra hard, right before Shabbat, and on Shabbat, to try to get you angry. And guys, I can attest to this in person. The Yetzer Hara works extra hard overtime on right before Shabbat, the minutes right before Shabbat, and also on Shabbat, with the home, with the wife, and the kids, and the candles, and cleaning the house, and setting up the table, and so on and so forth. Wow, it's so hard to overcome your anger. Why is it? Because the Yetzer Hara is trying so hard. Why is the Yetzer Hara trying so hard? Because it's so important. Because it's so important to have shalom in the home on Shabbat. Because if there's no shalom in the home on Shabbat, the bracha has no place to rest. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give all of us shalom, so that the bracha, all the brachot in the Torah have a place to rest. And should give all of us and our families brachot ad b'lidai. Rabbi Chanan ben Akash Omer, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu, Zakot Yisrael, Efrach, Bem, Torah, Mitzvot, Shenema, Adonai.